This is Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Audie Cornish, sitting in for Michelle Martin. Though he's only 27, he's been called one of jazz's top innovators. Trumpeter Christian Scott hails from New Orleans and has been turning heads of critics and fans alike since his 2006 Grammy-nominated debut album, Rewind That. He's put out others since then, including his new one, titled Yesterday You Said Tomorrow. Christian Scott and his band joins us here in NPR's Washington studio. Christian Scott, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Now, the first thing I want to do, which sometimes people do at the end, I would love to be introduced to your band.
Well, we'll start with our pianist. He hails from Seaside, California, and his name is Milton Fletcher. Our bassist, he hails from Baltimore, Maryland, and his name is Christopher Fun. Our drummer, he's one of my southern compatriots in this music. He hails from Houston, Texas. Give it up for Jemiah Williams out there. I know y'all clapping, that's right. On the electric guitar from Toronto, Canada, the musical director of the band and my best friend, I love him very much, Matthew Stevens.
All right, now this is actually your fifth album, and I think people are always describing you as the new kid or the up and coming,
yeah,
but this is album number five.
Do
you think you're finally shedding that label?
I think part of it is because I can't grow any facial hair. And I'm, you know, I see some of my predecessors and sometimes writers and stuff, and they look at me and they say, wow, this guy is 17 years old, but they don't realize I'm almost 30. You know, usually people start to trace your path from when you start going on the road. And most guys start going on the road when they're like 20, 21, 22. But I started when I was 13 or 14.
With your uncle's band? Harrison?
Yeah, with his band or Kenny Barron's band when I was younger, like 17, 18 years old and stuff. Guys I would see on the scene, I was always the baby, you know. So I guess in jazz years, I'm actually maybe 12 or 13.
Well, I read you had a really interesting, he gave you a really interesting sort of test or exam to get started in music. You had to learn a certain song.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And so, I should be clear, your uncle Donald Harrison's a well-known musician in New Orleans and saxophonist. Mm-hmm. And so he's on stage doing his thing, and one day you decide you want to too.
Yeah, well, what happened was I was in the car with my grandmother and my mother, and I heard this record that he made called Indian Blues, and it's about the Afro Native American music in New Orleans mixed with jazz. My uncle had a quintet with Terrence Blanchard for about a decade, and on this record, Terrence wasn't there. So I could hear that there was no trumpet, and I always wanted to hang out with my uncle because he wore really, really expensive suits and drove Corvettes and stuff, so I was into him, you know. And, I asked my mother if I could play the trumpet, and she got me a horn, and I called my uncle up, and I was like, I want to play jazz. Can you teach me to be a jazz master? And he says, no, I can't teach you to be a jazz master. So I said, well, can you teach me to be a jazz musician? He's like, well, I can try that. So he came over to my home, and he pulled out this pocket reel book, this small reel book, and he pulled out a song called Donnelly by Charlie Parker. And it was in the key of E-flat, which the trumpet is in the key of B-flat, and he was like, you have to transpose this, move this, and then I'm going to come back in 30 minutes, and you need to be able to play it at tempo. And of course, I failed miserably. And, he looked at me and he said, this is a very hard path and you have to take it very, very seriously. You know, this is about refining yourself to be the best that you can be every day. And I never lost that lesson. But that's how it started.
So this album is called Yesterday You Said Tomorrow. And I'd love to just get into some of the music. Tell us about the first song you're going to play for us.
Well, the first song that we're going to play is about the 13th Amendment in the Bill of Rights. And it's about the concept of permissible slavery in the United States.
And the title of the song is, I believe, Angola, L.A. and the 13th Amendment.
Yeah, Angola, Louisiana, 13th Amendment. And, you know, I think, you know, most people in the nation know about this particular prison, Angola, work form, 18,000 acres. And it's just a horrible, deplorable place. So I wrote this song about the people that go through that experience.
Thank you.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm speaking with jazz trumpeter Christian Scott about his innovative mark on the genre and his new album titled Yesterday You Said Tomorrow. All right, Christian Scott, tell me a little bit about the style, how you developed the technique.
The whisper technique?
Sure.
You're talking about the sound of the trumpet.
Well, both, because that's an interesting-looking trumpet.
Oh, okay. Well, cool. Well, I mean, the horn, the shape of the horn and design of the horn is something that I came up with my twin brother, Kyle. We were trying to figure out a way to keep the bell parallel with the ears of the audience while I pivoted down and I played. And so if I look, you know, and played down, I would be able to still see everyone in the audience and be able to watch them and be able to react. So I have sort of a tilted bell. As far as the whisper technique is concerned, that's harder. What that is basically I'm playing with warm air. In certain passages or phrases. And it wasn't something that I learned from anyone. I heard that Clifford Brown had a technique like that that he played with, but the recording quality at the time was that where you couldn't hear it. And I talked to my uncle a lot about it, and I talked to Clark Terry about it, and he told me that he did it with warm air. So I took about 3 years practicing to be able to turn it on and off when I wanted. And it finally came one day. I was in a practice room practicing, and I remember being really frustrated and almost wanting to give up on it. And I thought about trying to emulate my mother's singing voice, and that's how it came. I was trying to play like my mom sang, so that's how that happened.
You were a graduate of the Berklee College of Music, and you also went to a really well-known arts high school in New Orleans.
Sure.
And that's a lot of very traditional training. So
yeah.
What has it been like to break out of that with jazz? Because it sounds like you're trying to push things a little further compared to maybe what someone of your age is sort of expected to put out at this point in their career.
You know, I think that's one of the big things that plagues musicians of this era is that people expect them to do something. I did go to the New Orleans Center for Creative Arts. I did go to the Berklee College of Music, but in context of them being more like traditional reservoirs for young musicians, I think it's sort of a very modern thing for a musician to go to school to learn how to do this. Like Louis Armstrong didn't go to Berklee, he just felt. You know what I mean? And what it is that I've tried to do is to use that experience to make sure that no one could devalidate my contribution musically. But ultimately, when I'm playing music, I'm just expressing how I feel. And that's not something you can learn in a classroom.
One of the really interesting songs on the album is a cover of The Eraser by Tom York,
sure.
Who's from the band Radiohead. Mm. And I was hoping you might be able to play it because
we
I think
play whatever
it,
you want.
It you sort of it. Gets at some of this genre-bending
blending.
Stuff that people like to,
sure.
to talk about.
Sure,
so
sure, sure.
If you guys could do
yeah,
that one, The that. Eraser, Tom York.
Let me go grab a mute. We're going to need that.
Thank you.
That was The Eraser by Thom Yorke, a cover on the album. Mm-hmm. You're going to be in New Orleans mm-hmm. soon. And, you know, the really interesting thing I found about New Orleans when I was covering it as a reporter mm-hmm. is this sort of steady stream of musicians who come up through basically a system
sure.
of bands like Rebirth, Brass Band,
mm-hmm.
and everyone's sort of, there's sort of a JV, a freshman, a JV, and a
varsity.
Yeah,
it's true. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That makes a lot of sense. You're actually the first person to put it like that, but yeah, you're very observant.
Okay, but when is that a help and when does that hurt?
Well, I think it depends on the person. I grew up with a lot of musicians who went through that system, and, you know, some people opt to stay. You know, they never leave. But, you know, I think a big part of that is also, you know, New Orleans is the type of place where there's lots of social issues that sort of motivate why people do things. You know, if a guy grew up in the Sixth Ward and by the time he was 14 years old, all of his friends were dead, he might not think he's going to be 30 years old doing anything, make it that long. So, you know, you get to be 17, 18 years old and you're playing and making money doing gigs. You say, you know, that's it. This is the life for me. But the system does work if you're driven. At least for me, I knew I needed to leave because I wanted to be the best. You know, but, you know, not everybody gets, you know, I was nurtured when I was a kid. People were saying, you can do whatever you want to do. And that's not everybody's experience. And that's unfortunate.
Some of the issues that you were talking about in New Orleans in particular were compounded by the hurricane. And this is the fifth anniversary this year
sure.
of Hurricane Katrina striking the Gulf Coast and levees breaking and the floods wreaking havoc in New Orleans itself. Can you talk about how the music scene has survived this? I mean, 5 years out, what is it like there now?
Well, I mean, I think almost immediately after, you know, the musicians were some of the first people to come back because I think they, you know, New Orleans is one of those places where, like, it's music and that culture of musicians is sort of like, you know, as far as the city goes, the musicians are like a mother with a baby in her womb. That's the baby is going to be her avenger. And the musicians are like that. So everyone knows that it's paramountly important for the music to be there because the music is the future, you know. So in order for us to get to where we need to go, you got to go back, even if you don't want to be back. And I try to get back as much as possible. It's hard with my touring schedule and everything.
All right. So I think I want to end with a song.
Okay.
But it's going to be the song of your choice. So tell us, what
really?
Do you want to take us out on?
You mentioned something earlier that I thought was good. You said you liked Isadora.
I do.
And we've been playing some hard stuff, and I don't know if these guys are in the mood to play a ballad, but I kind of feel like that might be nice to play a ballad in with a ballad.
I would be very, very happy to hear that.
Okay, cool.
To hear the full studio versions of the songs performed by Christian Scott and his band, please go to the program page of NPR.org and select Tell Me More. And that's our program for today. Tell Me More is produced by Shanita Anderson, Bracton Booker, Jessica Deal, Jasmine Garst, Lee Hill, Douglas Hopper, Arjun Hutchins, Emily Oxenschlager, and Enrique Rivera. Our intern is Danielle Gerson. Our editors are Tanya Ballard Brown and Lori Grant. The show's senior editor this week is Alicia Montgomery. Our senior producer is Monica Evstatieva. The program is directed by Rob Sachs. Our technical director is Kimberly Jones with help from Neil Tivolt. Our theme music was composed by Underdog Entertainment with additional arrangements by Ian Honeyman. The supervising senior producer is Tashima Walker. I'm Audie Cornish. You have been listening to Tell Me More from NPR News and the African American Public Radio Consortium. Let's talk more tomorrow.